I've entitled my lesson this afternoon, Playing with Fire. Now, you may, if you've been paying attention to the news the last few weeks, know that there's been several rather significant brush fires out in Kansas. They get away very quickly and they destroy hundreds of acres. I did a little research and I found some numbers that were rather astounding to me about fires. This data comes from 2014. In the United States alone in 2014, there were 63,612 wildfires that were documented, which consumed approximately 3.2 million acres, and they cost the taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars to fight those fires. And that's not even mentioning the lives that were lost in those fires and the property that was destroyed there. Over 62,000 on average each year, wildfires are started by people. Careless behavior such as tossing a cigarette butt out the window or leaving a campfire without putting it out completely or burning trash or brush and letting the fire get out of control has caused a great deal of these fires, but some, about one in five of those 62,000 average fires, are set deliberately. Mean, if not troubled, individuals who, for a variety of reasons, set these fires on purpose so that they can watch the devastation that ensues. And this is indeed a tragedy and a sorry comment on human behavior. In James, the third chapter, verses 5 and 6, God likens the damage that the tongue can do to a raging fire. James 3 and 5 says, "Even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." These are some strong words, and this is an important matter to the Lord. Dozens of scriptures deal with the effect of what we say, the effect of our speech. None speak more plainly than this of the devastation that comes from careless or spiteful words. At stake is something more precious than trees or houses or property or even human life. The very souls of men are in danger from this unwieldy power of our tongue. Much as we must take care when we are surrounded by a forest of dry timber, we should also be aware that we're surrounded by a forest of relationships. Some of them are highly flammable. Sometimes I don't think we stop to realize the magnitude of our relationships and just how fragile some of them are. We may think that what we say is not really that important or people don't really pay that much attention. We may take for granted that we'll always have all these relationships around us. But that's not the picture that James points for us here. In a group of about 60 people, so if we had 60 people together in a congregation, there would be 1,770 possible one-on-one relationships. I'm going to repeat that, because that number was really large when I considered it. 1,770 one-to-one relationships are possible in a group of just 60 people. Now, just to if you consider all of the members that you have in your congregation and their family members and your friends that might be associated with people in the congregation, there'd be a lot more than that. We're truly surrounded by a forest of relationships. And when a relationship with just one member is jeopardized by a careless or a spiteful remark, we've just affected potentially 60 other relationships. Because that's how many people we're assuming is in the group there. So, one relationship, one problem with one person can affect everyone in the group. And then that will start affecting the relationships between each of them. Who are these fire starters? Well, anyone who talks about others in a negative way, the Bible calls them busybodies, talebearers, sowers of strife, whisperers, people who dig up evil, slanderers, backbiters, evil speakers, and tattlers. Nothing kind is ever said in the Bible about these kind of people. Yet we find them all around us, and often when we look in the mirror ourselves. Brothers and sisters, we must separate ourselves from this kind of behavior. The book of Proverbs overflows with teaching about this topic. Let's take a look at some of these passages that are in Proverbs. We're going to start with Proverbs the 6th chapter. Proverbs 6. And I'll read verses 12 through 19 there. Proverbs 6, 12 through 19. A naughty person, a wicked man, walketh with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes and speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Frowardness is in his heart. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. Therefore shall his calamity come suddenly. Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that are swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaks lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Proverbs 10, verse 18. He that hideth hatred within his lips, and he that uttereth a slander is a fool. This passage speaks of the person that inwardly hates his brother, but speaks as though he does not. Hypocritical flattery will make itself known, if not to the man, at least to God. Have you ever met someone that will speak well of a person to their face, but in their absence they'll speak evil of them? This passage says it's the work of a fool to do this. Proverbs 11 verse 12 says, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. This passage tells us of the person who just can't wait to tell something bad about someone else. A talebearer is someone who travels about spreading scandals. This person is void of wisdom, according to Proverbs. They often get a sense of importance or self-righteousness by sharing the dirt on others. And many times this is offered under the guise of concern for the other person. But the only effect of telling the tale is to tear the person down, not to build them up. Proverbs 18 and 8. The words of a talebearer are as wounds, and they go down into the innermost parts of the belly. Talebearers wound others. They cause deep and lasting damage, emotional, spiritual hurt. When discovered by the subject of the gossip, it's often causing rifts between brothers and sisters that can involve many other people and last a lifetime. Have you ever known of a feud that occurred because of talebearing, because of gossip? And sometimes those feuds can last the lifetime and even into next generations. The discord that's sown by those kinds of things can be long-lasting and deep. Proverbs, the 16th chapter in the 27th verse, says, an ungodly man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A froward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. This kind of behavior destroys relationships. And the relationships that are destroyed are often not limited to just between the two people that are involved. It often involves many others. Looking for the bad in someone and spreading it is like starting a fire. Even good friendships are casualties at the hand of the whispering fool. The whisperer is even more subtle and insidious than the open slanderer. Have you ever seen someone who will not confront a person to their face, but goes around planting doubt with subtle and vague remarks, spreading innuendo and causing others to be suspicious? They haven't come right out and said someone has done this thing, but they imply by what they say. Think about the effect that this has. This changes the relationship that a person can have with the group. Others may shun the object of this story without ever knowing the truth, only hearing vague remarks or innuendo, and changing the possibility for the relationships between those people and the rest of the people in the group. Proverbs 20 and 19, "He that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips." So here's an admonition for the rest of us. If we see people who are behaving this way, we should not spend our time with them either. In other words, this is a caution. Look out. If you tolerate this kind of person, this tale bearing and this tattling, you can't trust them to not spread tales about you. If they're telling you things about someone else, it's very likely they're going to be telling someone else about you. A prudent person avoids being involved with those who act this way. Sharing information privately with a person like this is just dangerous. Proverbs, the 26th chapter and the 17th verse, "He that passeth by and meddleth with strife belonging not to him is like one that taketh a dog by the ears." Now that's a very graphic visual for me. Grabbing a dog by the ears. You're just asking for trouble. So not only do we not want to tattle or be a talebearer, but we don't want to involve ourselves with others who meddle in other people's business. Those who are looking for strife are going to find it. If they don't cause it themselves, they'll find it in others and they'll join in. This passage indicates plainly that it is to their own detriment. If you practice these things, busybody, talebearers, sowers of strife, whisperers, people who dig up evil, slanderers, backbiters, evil speakers, tattlers, if you're a part of that kind of behavior, have you ever thought about how you look to others? To those who are wise, your behavior is very foolish. When you come to someone with gossip or trying to cause division, don't you know that you're destroying your own credibility to those who are in the body? What person in their right mind is going to confide in you if you can't keep your mouth shut about other people? Will a godly person want to spend much time with another person who's tearing down the body? You're going to alienate yourself from the righteous and draw yourself to those who are foolish. The judgment of the Lord is even more important in this case. God hates these things, and a person that practices these things is not going to stand blameless in front of Him. If you find yourself around a brother or sister who practices these things, how do you handle that? For your sake, for their sake, for the sake of the body, don't just let it continue. Here's a fire that's being kindled and you're a witness. There's arson occurring and you're seeing it. What should you do? You want to put it out before the flames are fanned higher. Your complacency in a case like this emboldens the talebearer to continue. He or she thinks you're joining the party. So you want to pull out your spiritual fire extinguisher and let them have it. What can that look like? What kinds of practical things can you do? First suggestion would be, for every negative thing someone says, you say something positive. I've tried that before, and it's pretty effective. It doesn't take very many times for them to catch on. Don't give up. They're going to get the message. Another thing that I've heard that works is to tell them that you really feel uncomfortable talking or listening about others that way. That as you're hearing them talk, you're imagining how you would feel if someone was talking about you that right now that way. So you're sharing with them how it's going to make them feel. The third thing that is an option, I think, is to ask them if they've ever talked to this person about that issue. So if they're telling a tale about someone else, ask that person, have you ever talked with them about it? If they're truly doing this, have you addressed that with the person that you're talking about? Quote Matthew 18, verses 15 through 17. Moreover, if thy brother shall trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. If he shall hear thee, thou hast gained thy brother. But if he will not hear thee, then take with thee one or two more, and in the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect to hear the church, let him be unto thee as a heathen and a publican. Now, if that person who's the talebearer is skipping from the trespass to treating him as a heathen, he's left out some pretty important steps there. And maybe he needs to be reminded of what those steps are. Always act genuinely astounded that this person is saying these things about someone. Immediately stop the conversation and ask the talebearer to pray with you for the person that he's speaking about. That's going to stop the tale bearing in its tracks. Be sure to include a request to God to grant wisdom to you and the tale bearer to know how to build up that brother or sister who's the subject of the bad report. So now you're turning the tables. If truly this tale bearer is saying something that has some validity, something needs to be done for that person. We should be working as their brother or sister to help them, not be spreading this story about them. The bottom line is, you can make a difference in these cases rather than just letting it go, to be active, to do something. The same tongue that God has given us in our heads that can cause all this devastation also has the potential for healing and edification. Proverbs 10 and 11, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. But violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. Proverbs 15 and 4. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. Proverbs 17 and 9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth a matter separates friends. In Proverbs 25 and verse 11, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. In Ephesians chapter 4, starting with verse 29, we have some important instruction here about the way that we use our mouth for the good of others. Ephesians 4, verse 29 says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. So this is the nature of Christ. We use our tongue for building up, not tearing down, for complimenting, not condemning, for planting seeds of love, not uprooting relationships, for speaking words of healing and reconciliation, not strife and discord. Let us be recognized by exhibiting the love of Christ among ourselves. John 13 and 34 says, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love to one another. So the Bible is very clear that our tongue can cause devastation. And we have all witnessed and maybe even participated in these kinds of behaviors in the past, but we want to put this aside. We want to put it away for the sake of the body, for the sake of the individual, for the sake of our own soul. We want to put this kind of behavior away. And if we witness this kind of behavior, we want to help to heal it. We want to help to stop it. We want to bring and to build up the body of Christ. If you're here this afternoon and you are outside of the body of Christ and you wish to become a part of His family, a part of a group who's been called to love one another, to show that love and concern for one another, and we can help you with that, please let us know as we stand and sing.